You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is an email that I received last week from Lance. Here's a question of the day that would be fun to ask listeners. Thank you, Lance. We appreciate it. Yeah. Why can't everyone in the family be on the same page and keep the kitchen sink clear by putting their dishes in the dishwasher? It's a family problem for me, the dad, as I have to unload and load the dishwasher every single morning. 30-minute job in my house. And then he attached a picture of his sink. And I wanted to say, Lance, because that's your job.
Right.
That's why.
You know what? Do you remember being a teenager and being fancy free? You just throw the dishes right there. I mean, sometimes they didn't even make it in the sink. You just leave them on the counter.
I mean, my kids leave them on the table. It drives me crazy, but I'm working on it.
It's funny. As an adult, it would never happen. It would drive me insane.
Yeah. I think that there's just some chores and tasks that are divvied up in the family, even if you didn't truly assign them. My husband does most of the dishes. He does. And he loads the dishwasher and he washes them. Because I cook. And then usually by that time, it's time to put the kids to bed. So I'm upstairs putting the kids to bed and he's cleaning up downstairs. But last night, it was early. So I started doing the dishes. The anxiety on his face about the way I was doing them and loading them into the dishwasher. And he was casually readjusting it. And I just was like, this isn't a fight you need to pick. Turned off the water, dried my hands, and walked away. And that was the end of that.
My wife will have a list of these things that we do in my house.
I cook, and you clean up.
Usually.
I dust, and sometimes you vacuum.
I vacuum all the time now. I'm the vacuumer. You do the laundry, I make the bed.
Yes.
We both take out the trash.
Yep.
Have you eaten out of the trash barrel yet, by the way? I cleaned it. I cleaned it with the pressure washer. It's so nice.
That's disgusting.
Derek, is there a task that your spouse has that you do not get involved in?
My wife always books flights for travel. I made a mistake one time, and it's an expensive mistake. So now it is not my job.
So funny. Yep.
I do the opposite of this, actually. So now I just don't even discuss the flights with my wife. I just book them.
Oh, that's good.
Because what happens is she is the same way. She will hesitate on things. She will want to think things over. God forbid we're going on a trip with somebody else. She wants to consult with a dozen other people. And you know what happens in that time? The price has changed. The flights have changed. The availability's gone. Now, at this point, I just don't even ask anymore. At this point, I just book the flights.
Well, that's what I do with me and my husband. I'm the one that does it. We actually got into an argument the last time we went away because also when we get to the airport, I don't allow him or the kids to carry their own passports.
Oh, no, no.
I have to carry them.
I hand them to my wife immediately because I will lose them. So.
Oh. And he gets mad. He's like, I'm an adult. I can carry my own passport. I'm like, no. If it's not in my purse so I can have them all together.
Right.
It gives me weird anxiety.
What does he need it for?
I don't understand.
All traveling together.
Why do you have to hold your own passport?
No. I'm on your side with this one.
You're 45. I understand. You're capable of carrying your own passport.
Possibly.
It just makes it easier if I know that they're in my purse strapped to my chest safely so we can arrive back in our country.
Paul thinks because he's traveled out of the country by himself, and he's managed to get there and get back, that he's capable of doing this. But when he goes to the airport by himself, it's only him. Yeah. It's only his bags he has to worry about. He's not worried about anything else. He doesn't have to pay attention to the girls running around, who's doing this, what's happening, keeping the family together. He's better off letting you carry the passport.
I agree. And the boarding passes.
Yes. And anything like that whatsoever. I won't even check us in digitally on my phone, even though I've booked the flights, because I'm like, wait a minute, am I supposed to put this on my phone or not? But that part, I all leave to her.
That's because you don't know how to use your phone.
Well, that's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. I can book a flight with the best of them.
The woman realized she was not alone. She was on her own.
And just like that, it's over. Trending is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Do you ever hate watch a show, Raven?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually in the middle of that right now, as a matter of fact. And it's happened with other shows that I started. When I started them, I loved them, or I wanted to love them, and then it went so bad. Walking Dead did that to me for like 6 seasons. I mean, yeah. It was atrocious, even though it started so good. And right now, I'm hating the new season of White Lotus, or the last season of it, whatever way you want to look at it.
Well, and just like that is one of those shows that people have hate-watched. Ever since they did the reboot and people were so excited, started with 1.1 million viewers, it fell 60%.
Sometimes you have characters that you love so much, you don't want to let go of it.
Yeah.
And then when you watch something, you're like, oh no, they should have left it as it was. It happened with Breaking Bad, too, when they did that movie and thing after. It's kind of like,
But they did I tried to watch it,
yeah.
But I'm one of those people that I can't hate watch a show. If I start watching something and I don't like it, I'm out.
Yeah.
How many episodes
will you give it?
Two. If yeah. it's two, and I think
can't that's
get in,
pretty fair.
When somebody says to me, you have to watch this show, it's so good, but the first three seasons are slow.
Yeah. You're like, wait a minute, what?
No.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And people are mad about it because season three is the last season. They abruptly ended it.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that all the storylines had gone out of control and people were offended, literally offended by the way it ended. I don't want to give any spoilers, but it involves human waste. Yes.
Okay.
Carrie Bradshaw said,
it was very happy season, and so I just hope people feel that.
No, Sarah Jessica Parker, they did not. They did not at all.
She's
very
nice.
Upset.
She's not always my cup of tea, but she is very nice.
Yes. Also trending, would you let your child set you up with someone?
I'm sorry? What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
It's one of the love stories, one of the most iconic movies of the 90s, and it might be coming true. Remember Groundhog Day, Raven?
Yes, of course.
All right, Groundhog Day, huge movie. Now, it starred Bill Murray and Andy McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Margaret Qualley is probably best known for her breakout role in the Netflix series Made, but she's been doing a lot of the...
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, too.
Also,
she's a big
she's done
deal.
A lot of things.
She's going to be Frankenstein's Bride, which is going to be huge.
She's out doing all the promotional tours right now. She's got a bunch of different movies that are coming out over the next couple months. But she also happens to be the wife of Jack Antonoff. That's Taylor Swift's longtime co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Andy McDowell's daughter, which I didn't realize.
I mean, she's a Nepo baby with a ton of talent.
Right.
Yeah.
And she went on Fallon and she said,
like, you know what? I'm going to give you the tea. He was like, we didn't get along so good while we were making that movie. And he was like, you know, sure, it took a long time to get her hair done. And she didn't know her lines this one time. And I was like, yeah, well, I heard a different story, sir. And then come to find out, I'm like, I'm putting two and two together. He's living in Charleston. She's living in Charleston. They've got this kind of rage towards each other. But maybe he's trying to make amends. And I'm like, she's single. He's single. They're both crazy. Let's get it together.
What if Andy McDowell ends up with Bill Murray?
Like, I mean, I love her. Fan of hers.
And I love him, but he's zany. He's a zany guy.
I don't know that you could, you know.
Put that together. But if if your child tried to set you up with somebody, would you do it just for the sake of they think it's a good idea? Maybe they see something we don't?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they have to, right? They know you. And sometimes they know what you need, right? You know, but it doesn't always work, too. So, you know.
Can you imagine?
I mean, here's the thing. If you're not involved with somebody, what risk do you have, right? Take the swing.
Imagine they go out to dinner, and all of a sudden in the news the following day, it's like a fist fight broke out in Charleston between Bill Murray and Andy McDowell.
Well, my money's on her.
On August 6th, that's 12 days ago, if you would have asked people to bet on who they thought was going to play the Super Bowl halftime show, you'd be surprised to find out who one in four people thought it would be.
Am I mistaken? I thought it had already been announced that Jay-Z was going to be the performer for this year's Super Bowl.
You made that up, but you would be right by saying that's who people thought it was.
Yeah.
I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere.
Well, he's the head of Rock Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Nation is in charge of the halftime show at this point. I mean, again, I swore I thought it had been announced.
It was not announced. They said that there's an actual website that takes bets because Kendrick Lamar was announced as a Super Bowl halftime performer early September. So we know that we're gearing up for that announcement.
It's
coming up in the
soon.
Next few weeks, right? But coming in second, Post Malone, they were saying there was a 25% chance it would be him. And then coming in third,
Miley.
Miley Cyrus.
That'd be fun.
But that has all changed. And the question is now is, do you believe all the hype?
Let me tell you something. I was at dinner on Saturday night with a bunch of people my age, and these theories were running wild. Somebody was talking in my ear. I was like, I can't take it. Just wait till they tell you.
Because now, if you go to the same betting website, as of right this second, 62% of people are betting that it will be Taylor Swift. Now, why?
Yeah.
Why do people think it's Taylor Swift? Because she loves to drop Easter eggs. She loves to drop hints. She wants you to decode all the things. First, let's go back in the time machine to 2022.
Okay, I'm ready.
Get in the time machine. Everybody, here we go. Buckle in. We're in the time machine.
Great. Keep your hands inside till it comes to a complete stop.
She did an interview with Time Magazine and said that she would be open to doing the Super Bowl halftime show, but not until she owned all her music. Well, guess what? She now owns all her music.
Because that's the thing. You don't get paid for the Super Bowl. You just stream so many more to people across the world. But is that even a thing for her? I mean, either way, if there's money to make, she's going to make it.
Well, she said it in her podcast. She goes, I run a business. This is a business. And when she was also on the New Heights podcast with her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, she dropped some hints. And these are the hints. She kept saying, she talks about sourdough bread 60% of the time.
This is what somebody in my ear was in. Now, I heard she's actually baking it for people, but yes, there is a tie-in here.
Yeah, she does bake sourdough bread, but 60% of the time, Super Bowl 60 is happening at Levi's Stadium, which happens
to be the 49ers Stadium.
Exactly. And what is their mascot?
Sourdough
Sam.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, remember,
it's interesting.
This is Travis Kelce's 13th season.
Yeah.
It's her lucky number, 13. At Super Bowl 58, when she was there 2 years ago, she wore an Aaron Andrews jacket, oddly, with the number 60 on the back. 60. Okay. Also, she kept throwing around the number 47 during that New Heights podcast. So it was, she said to Jason Kelce, oh, you yelled and screamed for 47 seconds. And another time during the podcast, she referenced the number 47. 47 was the stop when she performed at Levi's Stadium. So, if you believe all the hype, now I will let you know that I have fallen for this trick before and it has not come true.
Right.
Many, many, many times.
Here's my theory as to why not. It's a huge amount of pressure, right? Like, I mean, I believe that if he had won last year, he retired last year. So, I believe that he's putting everything he can into this season and he will retire if he wins the Super Bowl. It's a lot of pressure if your girlfriend's performing during the halftime.
I think that this is their out. I think this is it. I think his goal is 13th season, I win the Super Bowl, she does the halftime show, we get married and disappear into the sunset. We'll see. We'll see. When was the last time you used a pacifier?
Oh my gosh.
In most cases, it's probably when you were very, very young. For me, Raven, producer Julie, is when I was in kindergarten. I went to kindergarten with a pacifier in my mouth.
Is that for real?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And I actually think it has a lot to do with all the issues I have right now.
Oh, that revisionist history. Love that.
But millennials and Gen X are using pacifiers.
Adult pacifiers are the newest trend in China. Images began surfacing on Chinese social media earlier this year of adults using baby pacifiers to help them relieve stress, with captions saying the pacifiers help them relax after a day of work, fall asleep, or deal with their anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
I just want to see the pictures of them with it in their mouths.
There's plenty. There's plenty.
I just don't understand. Like, why are we going to take this trend from these people, right? You see somebody passed out on a subway car with a passy in their mouth. Like, that doesn't mean that it's something that you have to pick up.
Upon seeing the trend, Chinese manufacturers began making adult-specific pacifiers that are bigger than the baby ones, helping the trend spread even faster.
Dentists say it's not a good idea for grown-ups to do this because it messes up your teeth. But I found this influencer, and she said,
be so for real. If it was socially acceptable, I'd be putting a pacifier in my mouth. Like, we all chew straws, and we all chew the plastic silverware. But imagine if we could have binkies.
Let me stop you there. We don't all do that. I mean, I did that when I smoked cigarettes. I would chew a straw from time to time. I don't do that. I've never chewed silverware, I think, ever in my life.
Do you remember, Raven, when all the pens here in the studio would have the tops bitten off?
Ew. Yeah.
And we
it was old producer John.
It was old producer John.
He used to chew them all the time.
Yeah.
But he was a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if
it's
he still is.
It's like a fixation kind of thing. Yeah.
I have never been a smoker. Right?
Yeah.
And I had a pacifier child was in kindergarten. It was a real, real problem to disattach from it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you something, Julie. Julie, come here. Come here. Don't. I have coffee breath, so please, I apologize. Sorry. Look in my mouth.
You have like bite marks.
Uh-huh.
What is that? Is that permanent?
She eats her mouth.
Is that forever?
Yeah, she chews her cheeks.
Chew my cheeks. It is the most disgusting thing I do.
Oh my
gosh. It's a nervous tic that I cannot break, where I chew the insides of my mouth until they're, you literally could see the lines of skin.
Do you want a passy? Is that what you're telling me? You're announcing to me that you want a passy now?
Get a piece of gum or something.
No.
Right, look at her. She looks terrified.
It sounds insane. No, I understand. And even my like, dentist is like, how do we stop this? He wanted me to have a mouth guard for one point.
Hmm.
I think some people have that chewing, gnawing. It's a nervous tic thing. So when I heard this, I go, not the worst idea I've heard.
Come on.
It was the worst idea.
Listen, you're an adult.
We should get her
toughen
one.
Toughen up, right?
That's what you want me to do?
Work your way through it. You're not chewing your cheeks right now. You're okay.
I do it when I sleep. It's not when I'm awake. It's when I sleep.
Just get a pacifier.
That's what I said. Right.
I heard
this and I thought to myself, well, I really liked it till I was about 6 years old. I should get one of these and see what happens, right?
I'm not recommending it.
No?
No.
Well, I'm just going to order one on Amazon and we'll just see.
I think that's a great idea.
What if I could heal the inside of my cheeks?
I don't think that's the way it works.
No?
It's not like, you know.
It's a distraction.
It's a piece of, you know, rubber that's being imported from somewhere. Check and make sure it's BPA free.
You want to hear something nuts, too?
What's that?
My dad does it, too.
Come on. No, chews his cheeks. Doesn't have a pacifier.
No, my dad does not have a pacifier.
You. I mean,
no, but he chews his cheeks, too.
Imagine if your daughter outed you for having a pacifier in the air. That's something you could never forget.
No.
I wish you all adults luck.
It's weird. It's a weird problem to have, but unless you have it, you don't understand.
I guess you're right.
Yes. Sometimes you get so focused on winning that it's the only thing that matters to you, and you become super competitive.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good. You can accomplish great things when you do that. You really can. You can eclipse thoughts that you ever had for yourself. On the other hand, you can also really take the joy out of everything. It's really tough sometimes. It is.
Yeah, I know. I think it has a lot to do with personality, too. So Travis Kelce was in the GQ photo shoot spread. Producer Julie, I don't know if you've seen this, but it is... He is very attractive in it.
Oh.
And he's holding alligators. He's got a fur hat.
Right.
It's nothing that makes sense.
Wow.
You know, he's like, you know, he's on one of those water sprout things that you're like standing up on top of the water.
You mean if you ran into Travis Kelce on a regular Tuesday, that's not what he would be doing with an alligator?
Wearing palazzo pants.
I mean, of course he would.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so in the interview with GQ, he says, win a Super Bowl is the only goal. It is the only goal. It is every goal. And he's talking about his upcoming 13th season. Now, if you believe all the rumors that are going around, we'll find out in the next couple weeks, Taylor Swift might be performing as a halftime performer. And I could see where that even adds more pressure to him because he wants to be there.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is that at some point your body breaks down. He's not a quarterback. He's getting hit all the time. And last year, he definitely looked different. So he's putting himself through a lot to come back and be super strong this year.
But there's some times and there's some things, obviously for him, that's his job. He gets paid to catch the ball to go and to score points. So that's what he's super competitive about.
Mm.
But even in the New Heights podcast with Taylor Swift, Taylor said, I'm competitive about music. She says, I want to be the best musician. I want to be the best songwriter. Mm-hmm. I don't need to catch a football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think each of us has something that we're super competitive about, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the first 10 years that I did this job, I was highly competitive, like could not put in enough time every single day. And it burned me out. And, you know, I kind of learned a lesson after that. And when I got out for a minute, I became a car dealer in Vegas. And that was like a refresh for me. When I came back, I had a completely different perspective doing radio after that. But you know something? When I was in Vegas, it was poker.
Wow.
If it's not one thing, it's something else.
I would like that old Raven to come back for a little bit.
Nope.
That would be nice and helpful for this show.
Imagine
really
if we were
good.
Both the same.
Well,
nope.
You know.
Because that's Anna.
Well, it's true. If you sit in this room and you see, you know, I am competitive. I want to be the first to break news. I want to be the first.
Highly competitive.
I want to be the funniest show out there. I want to be doing the best social media that we can. And I'm competitive like that. I can't help it. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. I want to be the best at what I'm doing.
Very driven. If both of us were like that at this point, it'd be like a badger and a wolverine in a cage. It would be bad.
Julie, what are you competitive about?
Well, I am lyrics. I'm a god at it. I can rap any song. So when somebody says the lyrics wrong when they're singing, we got a problem.
Oh, because I'm going to correct them.
You. Yeah, 100%.
Because I know what that right lyric is, and I'm going to tell you about it.
You can't even keep yourself quiet.
No.
And that's annoying to people, by the way, just so if you didn't know that.
Sometimes my boyfriend will sing a song and it's not right, so I'll jump in and I'll sing it right the next time it comes around.
To correct him?
You're trying to do it gently?
Lovely.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure he really appreciates that.
Yeah,
very
sure.
much so. Everybody's got the thing that they're super competitive about. What are you super competitive about? 1-800-330-9999. Win a Super Bowl is the only goal. It's the only goal. Mm-hmm. It's every goal.
And everything else is going to be a failure.
Exactly. That's what Travis Kelce said when he did his interview for GQ. It's a lot of pressure, but some people are so competitive. And I get it. That's his job, is to win Super Bowls. That's what he wants to do. But what are you very competitive about? 1-800-330-9999. Anthony.
Well, I'm not young anymore, but when I was a young man, my friend and I would go running. We would go to the track and do like a mile run or something or whatever and just almost kill each other, just trying to beat each other, you know, just fierce, just as fast as you could. And just, I wish I could run like that now, but we would really just almost pass out. It was insane.
I completely believe you, Anthony. Like, I had friends that used to work out until they would throw up, basically. They were pushing themselves like
so
that,
and
it was super competitive.
In the gym, it was actually disgusting. He would throw up.
Well, that's how it was a good workout. That's how you knew.
That's not true.
My grandfather-in-law actually is still a runner at 82. He just ran a 5K. He came in eighth, and he was so mad quietly with himself that he vowed that he's never going to run competitively again.
Jan, what are you weirdly competitive about?
I'm weirdly competitive about, like, any word game, like a crossword puzzle or, like, a Sudoku or, like, any type of, like, puzzle game that you can, like, time yourself and do with friends. I've gotten so good at it. I do it all the time, and I, like, take very big pride in, like, being able to do it the fastest.
I mean, highly competitive in nature in general, mm-hmm. right? Like, you just want to win, and a game like that appeals to you and shows you or rewards you, like, you're smart. I used to play words with friends, and it's like a muscle you work out. If you're not playing all the time, your skill level drops way down.
Words with friends, I used to cheat all the time.
What?
I used to like Google words and put them in there or like search.
Then what were you
what
doing?
Words
Why bother now? Then?
Yeah, you know who I used to play against?
Who?
One of our coworkers, Steve. And he used to always think that I was just really smart. I wasn't. I just was cheating the whole time.
That's messed up.
I don't know. Once you start, you can't stop. It's like a weird addiction. It's like once you realize that you could just ask the computer and then it'll give you an answer. It's like, why are we doing this
what
here?
What a strange, sick power trip for you to let Steve think that you're far more intelligent than you are.
It was years ago.
But I mean, to keep the facade going. So I mean, to do that one game or another to win, is that's one thing. How long would you say that you played like that?
A long time. You know, we should
multiple
call.
Games, months.
Let's right. tell him. We should tell him that I did that.
Yes, confess right? to him. Why not? Right. You know, I think you might feel better.
All right.
He certainly will feel better.
Okay.
Greg, how about you? What's the thing that you're weirdly competitive about?
I don't think I'm alone in this one, but I'm going to say eating. If there's a bunch of people, I will try to out-eat them, even though it's not good. I recognize that, but I can't stop myself. But it gets weird when, even when I'm alone, I will try to out-eat like what I think is just like a standard portion. I'm like, oh no, I should have a little bit more. I'm enjoying it so much, or like I just need to do it. It's probably a really bad idea health wise, but you know, I if I see food there, I just have to be the one to eat the most, even if it's just me. I have to push myself a little bit more.
And Greg, are you naturally thin?
You know, I guess kind of.
Mm-hmm.
When you got good metabolism, you play games like that,
right?
If you don't. You wouldn't be. You would never say this out loud. You might be thinking it in your head, but you'd never say this out loud.
I've spent my entire life doing the complete opposite, telling right. myself I don't need that extra half a bagel. I don't need those fries. I can't. I've never allowed myself to have anything.
He's got opposite. Satan on his shoulder, right. daring him.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll eat that slice.
Triple sure, dog, no there you get that bagel in your mouth.
Right, I'm gonna eat this last slice before anybody walks in this room.
Who doesn't eat an entire garlic bread? Commit yourself, man.
6-7 6-7
Oh.
6-7 6-7
All right.
Why are all the kids yelling 6-7 and then hysterically laughing?
I assure you, I have no idea whatsoever.
Oh, you have no clue?
No clue.
All right, get ready to learn something. If your kids have been yelling 6-7 and you're trying to figure out what it's all about, here's the guy from the internet.
What is the 6-7 meme? It all started when Skrilla made a song where he mentions LaMelo Ball, who is 6'7" in height. It also refers to 67th Street in Chicago.
Yep, here's the song.
6'7".
Now, that doesn't really explain why.
I was going to say.
All the kids keep saying it over and over again.
Right. I mean, it was a 1 second clip, to be fair. I don't have a lot of context there, but okay.
This became a meme, and a lot of fluffy haired, annoying little kids started shouting 6'7".
That's why. They just yell 6'7".
It's just strange.
So I asked my niece, Ella, to explain it to me, since this is right in her realm of her life right now.
Right in her wheelhouse.
Yep.
Ella, what does 6'7" mean?
It's like a saying that a bunch of people say, and I'm pretty sure it's from a song.
But why? What does it mean? Like, if somebody just says 6'7", what does it mean?
Like, you just say it whenever somebody says, like, 67 or, like, a 6 or a 7. It means, like, Mason 6'7", which is, like, 10-year-old boys wearing ice cream shorts saying 6'7".
I also had to look up what ice cream shorts were. It's like the brightly colored shorts that all the kids wear, the tweens wear, like the different colors.
So it's literally, if somebody else about your age group says something, you just repeat it without truly knowing what it is. Not really an answer.
I was at my niece's birthday party last night, so there was a lot of kids in this age group.
Yeah.
The amount of yelling and 6'7" that I heard was ridiculous. And they also go like this with their hands. It's like they're juggling. Mm-hmm. 6'7".
Yeah,
you got to pretend like you're juggling with your hands when you say it.
Basketball move. I don't know what that is.
Nobody knows.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
All right.
It just started out of nowhere, and now everybody yells 6'7". So when you hear that, that's what it means. Absolutely nothing.
All right.
Now you've learned.
Good.
But there's some other words that have been going around a lot too, and I thought we would see, Raven, how many you would know.
Oh, I love this game.
What's a bop?
I don't know what a bop is. You hit somebody, or is it a dance?
What does bop mean? If somebody's a bop,
it means they like go through a bunch of, like, they date a bunch of people in a short span of time.
Somebody who is promiscuous.
Oh,
that is a bop.
I mean, okay, we're making judgments about people. Sorry, I missed that one.
If you're chopped, what does that mean?
You're chopped. You got a haircut?
How about chopped?
That means somebody's ugly.
Oh, that's not nice.
That's what it means.
I mean. All right, so we're starting with promiscuous, and then we're calling people ugly. This is a lot of judgy stuff here. I don't like that.
Aura farming?
Uh-huh. It means you're trying to improve yourself. How about that?
Aura farming?
It's like when you're trying to, like, have aura by, like, doing something really cool.
What does that mean?
Like saying 6'7", you're trying to aura farm.
Trying to be cool.
I'm trying to be cool, but yes. I'm trying to improve myself. I'm going to give myself a point for that.
But it's on social media. So you only do it on social media.
Well,
so you're putting fake content up. You're projecting your aura farm. You're trying to be cooler than you are. How about one last one? You're clocking tea.
I'm listening in. I'm paying attention. I want to know what the dirt is.
No.
How about clocking tea?
That means, like, if somebody did, like, a comeback to you and then you made a better comeback, you clocked their tea.
It's like you got them back.
I wouldn't have got that one.
Got them. It's like if you yell. It's like if we say, got them.
Yeah.
They're clocking tea.
Booyah.
Who got in your face.
Right.
6'7".
Take that.
Yep.
No, wait a minute.
Your goal, end a war and serve the most American pride meal. What is on the plate? So if you missed it on Friday, President Trump and Russian President Putin met in Alaska. They talked for hours. No concrete deal to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. But today there's going to be another meeting, and Ukraine's Zelensky is coming, and so are the heads of Britain, France, and Germany. But all of that aside, there was one big security breach that's under scrutiny right now, Raven.
What's that?
As papers with U.S. State Department markings were found on a hotel printer in Anchorage, Alaska, ahead of that closed-door meeting between President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin.
Three things were on these papers that people are looking at.
Okay.
Number
one. It's like the local Marriott up there. That's weird.
It's like a 4-star hotel.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
well, I mean, how many options do you have around that area, right? Unless we build one.
So one of the things on the paper was guidance on the pronouncing Putin's name.
Okay.
And how they do it is capital P-O-O, like poo.
Poo.
Poo. Poo. Like
10.
Poo. and then it's T-I-H-N. So capital P-O-O dash T-I-H-N.
Okay.
Putin.
Yeah.
Putin.
All right.
Also there.
One page disclosed that Trump planned to give an American bald eagle desk statue as a gift to Putin.
Oh, very nice.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels American.
Seems very good. I actually heard that and I was like, that's a good gift, I guess. Yeah, okay. Why not, right? And then the third thing.
On Saturday, White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly, the papers were a, quote, multi-page lunch menu and suggested leaving the information on a public printer was not a security breach.
I was fascinated by what they were going to eat for lunch. Remember, they didn't get to eat the lunch. They canceled the lunch.
They were busy.
Well, they talked for 3 hours and they're like, forget it. We don't want to have lunch.
Now it's time to go. And I've got lunch on my own plane.
This is a delicious lunch. I don't know why you would cancel. So
what was on it?
It was green salad with champagne vinaigrette.
Okay, delicious.
A duet of filet mignon with brandy peppercorn sauce. And a halibut Olympia served with buttery whipped potatoes and roasted asparagus.
Oh, local.
Oh, my gosh. And creme brulee for dessert. Who gets to eat this food? Because they canceled the lunch.
I mean, the hotel staff, right? 4-star felt like 5-star that day if you were a busboy. Pretty good.
So good. But that was like, I mean, it's a nice choice and it's something I would certainly love to eat.
Yeah.
But if Putin, P-O-O-T-I-H-N, Putin, is coming all the way here,
yeah.
Don't we want to show them what America's got?
Well, I mean, I feel like American beef, the filet is good. That's right up there. Yeah, the halibut is good because, you know, the Alaska and all that stuff, you know, and the creme brulee, that's French. That one I don't get.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that one I don't understand.
And wouldn't you make a baked Alaska if you're in Alaska? Isn't that common sense
right
there?
Not a bad idea.
Right.
Not a bad idea.
I was saying, if I'm going to try to wow somebody with American food, I want to show them what America can do.
What are you going to do?
You need a mac and cheese, you need sweet tea, and you need brisket on the plate. That's what you give.
I mean,
that's what you serve.
I'll go with all those. It's pretty good. I mean, it's distinctly American. I mean, I would go, and I'll take it south, too. I'll go fried chicken. I would go yams. I would do, I mean, apple pie.
Yeah,
I
mean, you need apple pie. Alamode.
You know,
what is you think Putin in Russia is eating apple pie alamode? No,
no.
I don't
Nobody
know.
Nobody ever
eating.
Brings it to him.
No one. Yeah, no. That's what they should have served.
It's like
then they
rhubarb
never
or something.
They would have never canceled the luncheon if that was on the menu.
Well, maybe that's what they're having today.
Maybe.
All right, let's hope for success. Either way,
Jason Kelce has hot takes when it comes to food. When he had Taylor Swift on his podcast, you could almost tell he was like a deer in headlights. Mm. He had his questions and he'd be like, moving on, next. And then he was like, and you could tell that wasn't his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But when he talks about food, that's where he has
He's
opinions. Yeah.
Sure.
Let's see if we agree with him.
Peeps are one of the most overrated candy in the history of candy. If it Peeps made eggs, they'd make candy corn and they'd both be the most overrated holiday.
Candy corn?
Candy corn's disgusting, Travis.
Candy corn is addictive. It's not disgusting. It's addictive, but I can understand why he doesn't like them. Thoughts?
I will say it's the last thing that I eat. If there's candy that's left over from Halloween, it is literally the last thing that I'll eat. And Peeps, I agree. I mean, it's just something that we put together for Easter or whatever. I don't think a lot of people actually like them.
Dakota, my 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Cherishes Peeps.
I mean, it's pure sugar.
My
pure.
Mom buys enough year-round that she has them at her house for her whenever she comes. How disgusting is that?
I mean, it's like a sugar injection.
Yeah, hot
literally.
Take, hot take.
Does pineapple belong on pizza? To which the obvious answer is yes.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, in the last couple months, I had a pizza that had peaches on it, and it was great. I would have said no, but I just keep myself open when it comes to pizza. No matter what you're going to put on it, I will try it.
You know, I come from a pizza family.
I know.
And my dad has put everything on pizza.
Yeah.
I've had hot dogs with mashed potatoes. I've had all kinds of crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've never had because he says it doesn't belong on a pizza?
Fruit, I'm supposing.
Pineapple.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Hot take, Jason Kelce. Give it to us.
Yeah.
I think Burger King's got the best fast food burgers.
Dude, I've been saying that for years.
That's a tough one.
Whopper's the best fast food burger. It is, because I don't consider Five Guys or Way Back or any of those like a fast food burger. It's the best. It's the best.
In-N-Out.
A good burger. No question about it. But Burger King is everywhere the world over. In-N-Out is regional to some places. I'm telling you, Burger King, the Whopper, I mean, it's the best.
I don't agree with that.
Well,
I'd say it's up there.
We can't agree on
it
everything.
It's certainly up there, but I don't know if it's number one.
Oh, it's the best. As it comes, too. Just add the cheese, that's it.
I know you're a good donut store if you make a good glazed donut. If you don't make a good glazed donut, stop coming up with your tricks and Instagram photos to get me into your donut shop. I ain't coming in.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is that a lot of times you get obsessed with places because they've got this Instagram page that's got all these crazy things they do. And, you know, you want to go, you want to be part of the hype. And then you get there and you wait in line and you overpay. And then you get the product, whatever it be, a donut, a sundae, or a milkshake, or whatever it is. And you're like, meh.
Overrated.
Mid.
Yeah.
At best.
I mean, it's with me, cheese pizza, to figure out whether or not you got real good pizza. That's where I start. And same thing, glazed donut.
I love sausages. Oh, sometimes I don't even chew them. I just swallow them right down my gullet.
I love sausages. Like, I love sausage.
Doctor just outlawed them for me.
I have been told by many, many, many doctors that sausage is the absolute thing, the worst thing you can eat.
Yeah.
I paid, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, $18 yesterday for them to thin slice a soppressata for me at the deli.
Lengthwise?
My husband was like, they upcharged us $10 to slice it for us. I go, but they got it so razor thin that I could put a handful in my mouth at once. Oh, I love a good sausage.
My wife does the same thing with pepperoni.
So good. All right. You got a hot take about food? Let's debate it. 1-800-330-9999. What's your hot take when it comes to food? Jason Kelce, when he was interviewing Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast, seemed a little bit like a fish out of water. Because he's not used to interviewing the biggest pop star in the world.
No, not a lot of people are. It's a lot of pressure there.
Right. But when he talks about food, he is passionate. Like when he says things like,
does pineapple belong on pizza? To which the obvious answer is yes.
No!
No. I mean, he's an eater. Again, so this is right in his wheelhouse. He feels confident.
What is your hot take on food? Let's debate it. 1-800-330-9999.
It's my family and I have been going to a lot of parades over the summer, and you know, all these people are throwing out all this candy. The most common thing that I see, Tootsie Rolls. I cannot stand Tootsie Rolls. That's like the candy corn of like a wrapped up little candy. It's not Laffy Taffy. It's not yummy. It's disgusting.
One, I agree with you 1,000%. Two, my teenager loves Tootsie Rolls like nobody's business, and I don't understand why. When every time I see her put one in her mouth, I think, how much is that going to cost me for the cavities and eventually that tooth falling out?
You sound like 1,000.
Okay.
The Tootsie Roll is a good candy. Here's the thing. It all depends on how hard that thing is. So if you've got it in the heat at a parade, let's say, for example, it's got a little bit of heat. That thing softens up. It's an easy chew. I like the Tootsie Roll. Not bad. But when they're really hard, forget it. Can't do it.
Sometimes they're like 17 years old. You don't even know.
They tear up your jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will.
Kenya, go ahead. What was your food hot take?
I think that leftover cold pizza is superior to hot pizza. It is way better. I'm more excited the next day. I'll have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner. It doesn't matter. I'm going to die on that hill. The cold pizza is amazing.
I 100% disagree with you. I can't eat cold pizza. It grosses me out.
I never heat it up. I never reheat a pizza.
Get out of here.
I swear. And sometimes when we get pizza across town and we get home, Alicia throws the pizza in the microwave. Almost always throws it in something and heats it up.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. No, I would rather have it cold.
Melissa, your food hot take.
Okay. I will probably get a lot of heat for this, but Twizzlers are the worst. I don't know how people can put them in their mouths.
I never liked Twizzlers, thought that they were the most boring, ridiculous thing. But I'll tell you something. You get one or two in your mouth, you're going to eat the whole package. If they're there, because you're like, you've already come to Twizzlers. To me, that's when you're at the end of the candy line, Anna. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's Halloween, you went through the rest of the candy in your bag. So you're going to eat all these mini little Twizzlers that they put in there. You're going to do it.
Twizzlers are addictive. Can't stop eating them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
100%. Randy, what's your food hot take?
I got this thing, like, I always thought Zagnut was from movies. I just discovered that this is a real candy bar. I haven't tried it, but is it just me, or does that feel like something that's just completely made up and shouldn't be real?
Until you said it just now, I'd never heard of the word Zagnut in my life.
It's a candy bar consisting of a crunchy peanut butter center surrounded by toasted coconut flakes.
Did you just Google that?
Yeah, it actually sounds delicious.
It's a Hershey product. I had no idea.
Yeah, I'll eat this. I'll eat this right now. I'm looking at one stripped where it's got the, this is a nice looking candy bar right here.
It has no chocolate.
It sounds like 555 phone numbers.
No, it's 100%. It seems like something you would see in a Toy Story movie, a Disney Toy Story movie, and it's not real, but it is.
They say Zagnuts and Butterfingers have a similar taste.
Okay.
Butterfingers are good.
Love that.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like blind spot intervention come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Javier and Patty. Patty, go ahead. What's going on?
Okay, so we have two kids. One is in first grade, one is in third. I came up with a genius idea to give them gifts on the first day of school, like to try to start to make it an annual thing, you know, like a little incentive to be excited for school and just a little booster for them so that they don't like break down. And, you know, one of our kids hates school, one of them likes school. So I thought, you know, maybe every year on the first day of school, we just give them a little present, kind of like a mid-year Christmas. But Javier is all, oh, we have to save money and there's no point. Everybody has to go to school.
All right, hold on. You Javier, know? Why are you Patty, against honey, this?
Patty, honey, it's not about saving money. Yeah, sure. I don't think that we should spend our money on gifts just to make the kids go to school. Like, it's a part of life. School is a prototype of what life is going to be like. You have to learn a work ethic. And they've had a couple of months off from school. It's just the way that you do it. I don't think we need to reward them from doing what they're supposed to do.
This is interesting. Listen, it's nice to get a gift, right? Always makes anybody feel good, you know, certainly.
Especially for kids, it's something to look forward to. You say, oh, you get a gift on your first day back to school morning. I mean, I see both sides. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you're doing the school shopping, there are inherently gifts that happen anyways, right? Like, I mean, if you want a new computer, if you want the new thing for your phone or the new whatever, like, that's the time that those happen. I feel like those are kind of gifts.
Yeah, but these are young children. So you're talking about basically toys, right?
Right. Basically, yes.
Yeah.
These are not things that our kids would consider gifts, like notepads, you know, the usual back to school things are not what they would interpret as gifts.
I just think it's the same as, like, these participation trophies that kids get for just showing up. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to reward things when, things are accomplished. It's not just motivating them. They want to go back to school. They want to go see their friends. They want to go be involved. They have new backpacks. They have new shoes. They have
true?
All the new stuff.
They're not rewards, per se. They're just little trinkets that they can keep in their backpack and look at when they're homesick and, you know, something to look forward to when they wake up, like, ooh, first day of school, we get our little special surprise present. I'm so excited.
I mean, you're making it sound like it's something that's coming out of a little, like, candy machine, though. Like, what kind of a gift are we talking about here? Let's put a monetary value on it. If you're saying a little something that sits in somebody's backpack, then that sounds to me like $20 or less or something like that. If you're talking to me about like a gift, you said a mini Christmas before. Those were your words. I mean, that sounds to me like that's a more substantial gift, and that's not necessarily riding in the backpack. So
I'm talking like 5 wrapped gifts that they each unwrap on the first day of school.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what's going to happen on week 2? You know, that gets them Monday through Friday on the first week, honey. But, like, what happens on week 2 when they don't get a gift?
I don't hate the idea of having them to look forward to something on their first day of school morning. I don't hate that idea. But let's see what the audience has to say about it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What do you think about getting back to school presents for your kids on their first day of school? Patty thinks it's a fantastic idea. She says the kids are already nervous about going back. They don't want to. Mm. And she thinks that if they treat the first day of school almost like a mini Christmas,
yeah,
it gives them something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, this is nuts, right? Like, I mean, before I even go into that, what I would just say is, listen, having a trinket or something small in your backpack is one thing, right? When you're talking about 5, 4, 5, 6 wrapped gifts waiting for you the first day of school, I don't know if that incentivizes you to go and do well. You've already been rewarded. Unless they're going to give you a gift every day when you get home, does that really make sense?
Well, that's exactly what Javier says. And I'm not saying what Patty says is right, mm-hmm. but anything you can do to ease your children. So maybe if they have something to look forward to that morning before they go, I could understand where she's coming from. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Alicia, whose side are you on?
I'm on Dad's side. I feel like he's right. It is something that the kids are going to have to do. It's setting them up for life. And I'm more concerned with them saying one kid loves school, the other one doesn't. Mm. The gift isn't going to stop the kid from hating school. Like, get to the bottom of why they don't actually like school. I think that's more important than giving them gifts.
That's a good thought.
I just think it's setting them up for something that's not realistic.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Do you think gifts on the first day of school is a good thing for your kids? Get some excited about going back to school. A couple's court verdict is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven.
Javier and Patty are at odds because Patty thinks it's a great idea. When their kids are going back to school in a couple weeks, she wants to give them each 5 or 6 gifts, wrapped gifts that will be there waiting for them the day as they get ready to head out the door. But Javier thinks that's nuts. It's their job to go to school. Why are we rewarding them?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Petey, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. I feel like, you know, pampering these kids and softening them up, you know, for school. It's like, school is a job. So we have to prepare them for the real world. They have to get up. They have to go to work. And if they do good, yeah. then they get a gift. It's like at your job. You do good, you get your check. You don't do good, you don't get a check.
First day of school. All right, we're gonna go outside and we're gonna mock fighting over a parking lot space. And if you want something in your lunch, you're gonna arm wrestle me for it. I'm with you.
Right. I don't feel like pop gets to unwrap is that. That's kind of. I don't know. I don't want to say it. It's kind of insane.
All right. Thanks for the call. Thanks. Have a great day.
Deidre, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
Oh, I agree with the dad 100%. We're raising kids, too many kids, that think that everything needs an incentive or a reward in order for them to do and accomplish it. Mm-hmm. We're raising monsters.
That was really bold. What?
You feel strongly. Hey, Stacey, what do you say? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. I think it's ridiculous to give wrapped presents on the first day of school. Just go to school.
Stacey, do you think we're raising monsters?
I don't know if you'd say monsters, but I think a little bit of expectations for gifts for nothing.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Javier, our audience agreed with you. Kids go to school because that is their job. There shouldn't be a reward for your first day of school back. There should be rewards for the successes they have throughout the school year, small trinkets and things like that. But, you know, having a mini Christmas on first day back to school morning, the audience didn't agree with you. I'm sorry, Patty.
Amen. Thank you. I'm not saying that they don't get rewarded for good stuff. It's just, you know, this whole setting them up right away. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Patty, I think that the idea is a cool idea. But I think that when you're talking about, you know, 5, 6 gifts or whatever on the first day, you know, Javier makes a really good point. Is you're incentivizing them for just showing up. And that may throw off the rest of the reward system. Callers, they sympathize, but they just didn't give you the votes today.
Well, I wish the bus driver good luck.
Okay.
We're going to have lots of anxiety-ridden children.
That's normal.
That's normal. They'll get over it after the first week.
Yeah.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,100. All right, Chris, you ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready to play.
All right, fingers crossed. I would love to give away this cash. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man.
$4,100.
All right, let's wait for Raven to walk out of here. When that studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Chris, I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in. I ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one. Leonardo DiCaprio says he feels 32 years old emotionally, even though he's turning 50 this year. He was named after what famous artist?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Number two, LL Cool J will solo host the MTV Video Music Awards on September 7th. What does LL Cool J stand for?
Ladies Love Cool J.
Number three, Taylor Swift was the biggest pop news of last week. How many tracks are there currently on her upcoming album, The Life of a Showgirl?
Let's go 22.
Number four, Denzel Washington says he doesn't worry about being canceled because he doesn't care about public support. He says you can't be canceled if you don't sign up, so don't sign up. He won an Oscar for Best Actor for what movie where he played a corrupt cop?
Training Day.
And number five, Elmo joined his best friend at the Grand Ole Opry to celebrate their 100th anniversary. It was his fairy friend that carries a wand with purple and pink pigtails. Who was that?
Let's go Big Bird. I don't know.
All right, bring Raven back in.
You.
All right, 2 out of 5 for Chris.
Oh, not great. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're really tough. 4,100 books.
Number one, Leonardo DiCaprio says he feels 32 years old emotionally, even though he's turning 50.
Yeah.
I guess that's why he dates all the women that are in their 20s all the time.
God bless him.
He was named after what famous artist?
I'll just guess Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two, LL Cool J will solo host the MTV Video Music Awards on September 7th.
Yeah.
What does LL Cool J stand for?
Ladies Love Cool J.
No. Ladies Love Cool James. James.
All right.
Both of you were wrong.
Okay.
Number three, Taylor Swift was the biggest pop news of last week. How many tracks are there currently on her upcoming album, The Life of a Showgirl?
There's going to be 12 tracks, 12th album, right?
12 tracks, yes. Now, if you believe all the clowning, there's a Pinocchio behind her. And they're saying that she's lying because she says there will not be a 13th track. But if you look at the album, it looks like there's a piece of tape covering something.
That's what somebody told me.
So too. We'll yeah. see. All right, you guys are tied at 2. Number 4, Denzel Washington says he doesn't worry about being canceled because he doesn't care about public support. He says you can't be canceled if you don't sign up, so don't sign up.
Good advice.
He won an Oscar for Best Actor for what movie where he played a corrupt cop?
Training Day.
Yes.
Fantastic. King Kong. Got nothing on me.
Number five.
Elmo, shoot program.
We have to keep going, Raven.
I mean, it's so great.
Number five. Elmo joined his best friend at the Grand Ole Opry on stage to help celebrate their 100th anniversary.
That's cool.
It was his fairy friend that carries a wand with purple and pink pigtails. Who's that?
Oh, I don't know.
Abby Cadabby.
Oh, yeah.
I am certain, Chris, that there's many people listening in the car right now that would have beat Raven, but that's okay. 3-2, that's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Chris, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. I'm back, Anna. $4,200 tomorrow.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. So you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.